All right, we're back. I want to read a couple of quick tweets before we get to the post-game stories. The Mad Lib says, taxes are the price we pay to have civilization. Anyone who doesn't get that has no business being in office. Black Frank Luntz, which is a great name, says, imagine if everyone only got car insurance after the accident.
True.
Well, Black Frank Luntz, I might use that from now on. Okay. All right, let's do the bathroom first, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I was at a restaurant the other day, and I see this sign on the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is what a Libby Lib bathroom looks like. So I took a picture of it, uh-huh. And I wanted to share it with you guys. So it says men, and there was one for women. And underneath it, it says inclusive restroom. This restroom may be used by any person regardless of gender, identity, or expression.
Okay. You don't have to share, but can I ask which part of town this was in?
Sure. Westwoodish.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So not West Hollywood, if that's
yeah,
what you're
yeah. I was wondering if it was because West Hollywood, I mean, look, it's known for its LGBT population, so it shouldn't surprise anyone that it was one of the first parts of LA to incorporate the genderless bathroom thing. But it made me feel really proud when I first started noticing it.
So do you see that in all the bathrooms in West Hollywood?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's funny. I don't go to West Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because that's the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
And you know what? So I looked at it and I thought, no, that wasn't so hard, was it?
Well, aren't women getting sexually assaulted in there all the time? It's just so, I mean, that whole thing was so stupid.
Like they
conservatives giving a shit about women getting sexually assaulted, by the way.
That was funny, yeah. So they put it on the men's room and the women's room. And I just looked at it and I thought, problem solved.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so go to whichever the fuck one you want. And especially in ones that are solo bathrooms, what earthly difference could it make?
Right.
You're going in by yourself and locking the door, right?
The only difference that it makes is the solo bathrooms tend to have the urinal in it, and urinals gross me out to no end. They're so disgusting and smelly.
Okay, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the only thing. It's just a little uncomfortable.
No, every once in a while I'll go into a woman's bathroom. No, of course. only if it's solo. It's if it's a solo bathroom, right? And like people think that's like, some people think it's the most normal thing in the world. What the fucking difference does it make? It's just a bathroom by itself, right? And some people think it's like the most verboten thing ever. Like, what if a woman were to come by and she couldn't access it immediately? Like, you monster. Okay. But women actually will go in a men's bathroom all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how come conservatives aren't worried about us getting assaulted? Anyway, and guys, if you've never been in a woman's bathroom, there's a reason why they don't want us in there, because it's beautiful. And it's totally unfair, as my kids would say, not fair. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've got candles, they've got decorations, it even smells okay. Mm-hmm. Like my daughter, like since she's four, every once in a while I gotta take her into a men's bathroom, right? Because I'm the only parent around and I gotta. And she's like cho-cho. Cho-cho in Chinese means smelly. She's like, cho-cho.
That's so funny.
So, anyway, there's no epidemic of transgender people walking into men or women's bathrooms in LA or in West Hollywood or anywhere else and doing anything wrong, okay?
Yeah.
As you all know, that was a complete nonsense story.
My biggest dream, okay, that's hyperbole, but one of my biggest dreams is to be able to one day own a home in West Hollywood. That's how much I love West Hollywood. I want to live there so badly. Mm-hmm. It's just such a great place. People are so open-minded. It's like one of the few places in LA where you get this sense of community, mm-hmm. right? Because LA is so, it's sprawling, and people, most people are transplants, and they're doing their own thing, and you don't get that sense of community. In West Hollywood, it's completely different. It's super progressive. It's super like trendy and clean and awesome. I want to live there so badly.
Yeah, and I've gone to some houses, one in particular that I remember in West Hollywood, and mm-hmm. It's a little further back. You know, the houses there are more away from the street,
yeah,
closer to the main streets like Sunset, you'll get apartment buildings.
Right.
And that house is so cute, and they've got a backyard, and it's beautiful. But it's like a couple of blocks away from the action.
Yeah,
you'd love that.
Oh my God,
That is your dream.
Yeah,
I don't know what other dreams do you have. I think that's the only dream you have.
I think
it's like
it might be
obsessed with home ownership.
Yeah,
and if you can
one day, I don't know how, but it's gonna happen. I think. You believe it'll happen.
I think you're a little bit mental about that. But anyway, okay, so you had something as well.
Yeah. Okay, so look, I wanted to share what it's really like to be a potential homeowner who has to go through, you know, dealing with lenders and all that stuff, right? So right now, the housing market in a lot of big cities, LA included, is so competitive because of all the reasons that I listed during the show, that you have to, if you want to look at open houses, you have to have like a pre-approval letter ready to go. And also, you never know, maybe you're looking at open houses and you come across something that does fit your budget, you know, and you got to jump on it. And the only way you can jump on it is if you have a pre-approval letter. Okay, so I wanted to get a pre-approval letter, which means working with either a broker who goes to different lenders or working with a lender directly, and they check your credit, right? And I thought, because prices of homes have gone up so quickly, that like these banks, these fuckers, they're giving out these subprime mortgages again, right? They're probably like, you know, tossing around all these mortgages or these loans without, like, mm-hmm, predatory loans, just like what happened before the housing market crash.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I was wrong. It's actually incredibly, incredibly hard to get approved, right? And so here's what I experienced. Keep in mind that I'm like an old lady and insanely responsible with money, right? I've always lived below my means, blah, blah, blah. You guys get that. And so my credit rating is insanely high. It's in the 800s, okay?
Please.
Also, zero debt. I pay off my credit cards at the end of the month, never pay any interest. Like, I'm just so responsible. And so all of a sudden, I get a call from the lender, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna need you to send us a letter of explanation. We just checked your credit. And I was like, okay, my credit's perfect. What's wrong? And they're like, last year, your bank did a hard inquiry on your credit, and we wanna know why. Because it's my bank, and I probably applied for a credit card, and they're gonna mm-hmm, see if my credit's good enough to give me a credit card. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Mm-hmm. I have a perfect credit score. Why does it matter? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to write the letter.
But you don't even know why they did the hard inquiry. So you have to find out.
You have to find out, and then you have to write this letter. And then here's another thing. On my application, they only asked what is the address that you've lived at for 5 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you've lived there for 5 years, that's the only address you need to disclose. If it hasn't been 5 years, list the address that you lived at prior to that. So I was like, mm-hmm, okay, I've been living in the same place for 5 years, not a big deal. I'll go ahead and just put that one address. They contacted me back, and they're like, your credit report indicates that there's another address there. What is this address? And it was my parents' address. That's where mm-hmm, I lived prior to moving. I had to write a letter of explanation for that. Anyway, the process is so difficult, even when you are perfect, okay? If you need to work with a lender, you're fucked. So even if you are a millennial who has done everything right, who has a career, who has the income, who has everything like set up just the way that you would expect for a potential homeowner, you're still screwed, right? You're not necessarily screwed, but you have to jump through hoops just to get approved for that loan. And that's the thing that drives me crazy. That's why that asshole who's like, oh, just stop eating, you know, the avocado toast, you'll be able to buy a home. He's just so incredibly out of touch. He has no idea what people go through just to buy homes.
Okay, you need to get that off your chest.
Yeah, letter of explanation.
Yeah, no, there's all these things in the credit card scores that are maddening. Like, if you get too many credit cards, they're like, oh, well, a lot of people ask for your credit history. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You guys kept wanting me to get credit cards. I got credit cards. Now you're punishing me for it, right?
Yep.
And I don't know. Now the other thing that drives me crazy about credit cards is, if you step like 5 miles away from your home and you buy something, they're like, that's it, we're stopping your credit card. Have you experienced this at all? You don't travel anywhere near as much as I do.
No. I do travel a lot. Come on. But I actually have had the opposite problem, okay? I don't know what's going on, but my credit card info kept getting stolen. And then no one would put a stop to it. Like, people would go to restaurants and spend like $600. I'm like, I did not spend $600 at a restaurant. And
they'd order like 30 avocado toast.
Like 30 of them, yeah. So I would call, and of course, you know, the fraud protection's really good. They'll just stop that credit card and they'll send you a new one with a new number. But then it would happen over and over again. And I was like, yo, can you guys like hook it up with some like fraud prevention? So like this doesn't keep happening.
That's interesting, yeah. No, I have the exact opposite problem. Wherever I go, they're like, we don't believe it's you. Dude, and then they'll stop your credit card and you can't buy anything. You're like, yeah. And then you call them and you wait hours and hours online to get back on and stuff.
Yeah, it's bad. The only time it ever happened to me was when I bought my wedding dress. Mm-hmm. Like, immediately the credit card company called me and they're like, whoa, you've never spent this much money on anything. What is going on? And I was like, no, that was me.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. So, super last thing on open houses. You, again, we're polar opposites on this. Uh-huh. You go with open houses with like intent to like, you know, to act, right?
Right. If the deal is right. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like shopping. I mean, you're like, okay, I'm here, man. Yeah. So I'll put down a fucking, I got an approval letter. I'll put down a fucking offer right now. Okay.
No, but that's how you have to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just. There was this one time where I walked into a property and I know I can't afford it, right? But mm-hmm. I want to walk in anyway, just take a look. Mm-hmm. And I get so competitive with other people looking at the property, just knowing that I have no shot. I have no shot. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be like, you know, like, I don't know what is wrong with me. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, I'm obsessed. I don't know. I've always been.
I have the exact opposite thing. I love going to open houses with absolutely no intent to buy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like a realtor's worst nightmare. I will drink your lemonade. My kids will eat your cookies. Mm-hmm. We will run around the house, largely make a mess, drive other people away, and we don't intend to buy. We're just fucking with you. Okay. We like to see nice houses in LA, right? Mm. And we like to play the game where Pro decides what's going to be, which one is his room, and Joy decides which one is going to be her room, and they like to run around and figure out, and then they'll say, this one's my room, this one's my room, okay? And I do a daydream of like, oh man, if we could live in this house, mm-hmm. where would be my office,
and
where would be my exercise room? Because in LA, there's some fucking nice houses.
There are.
Yeah.
So I used to like have the mindset of it has to be a gigantic house, right? It has to be huge. But now I kind of realize that I'm not into it because it's a lot of work, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also that documentary that I talked about a lot previously, Minimalist, they showed what percentage of a home the average family actually utilizes. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. It's like this tiny, tiny amount or tiny percentage of the home.
I utilize every inch.
You don't utilize
no,
every
I
inch.
No, I do.
You're never even home. When are you going to utilize every inch?
Okay. Anyway, one day I'll do a tour around my house and I'll show you. There's only one room that is underutilized and it drives me crazy. Anyway, I went through the same thing you did, which is similar. I always, in my dreams when I was growing up, wanted to live in a mansion, like mm-hmm. a giant house, right? Yeah. So when I first moved to LA back in 2001, I thought that my dream was to buy this Spelling Mansion. Okay, that's like the most expensive house in LA. I think they had it on the market for $100 million.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Wow.
So I think they sold it for way less than that, but still, right? I grew up. And then when we started having apartments and stuff like that, I realized the minute you have an extra room, somebody wants to fill it.
Yes.
So then family would come by and other folks would come by. Next thing you know, you got 27 people living at your house. Okay. Wes had warned me. Now, it's turned out to be not true at all. And it was slightly wrong. But we were just kidding around. But Wes like, oh, when you get married, you're marrying Asian. It's over. You're gonna move in, you're gonna play mahjong around the house nonstop, 24/7, chain smoking cigarettes.
Okay. Wow.
Okay, so he's kidding. And that didn't happen at all. Instead, it was my relatives. Like Haas came
like
in.
Haas.
Yeah, yeah, Haas came
intruding,
in.
Weird.
Yeah, I know, right? But you know, it's fine. Like, it's good, you know, your people you love, family and friends and stuff, but. If you have a 6-bedroom house and you only can fill 3 of the bedrooms, you know, the yeah. master bedroom and one for your son and daughter, somebody will fill the other 3.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the rule of houses. So just be careful what you wish for, you might get it. And then I realized also, I'm never going to have that much money. So I'm just going to let that one go.
Yeah.
And then the final part of the puzzle, though, is that I realized, no, it's better to have a, like a,
yeah.
not a small house, but like a mid-size house, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So where we actually, like what I still dream about is having my own office, which I don't. Mm-hmm. So my computer's in the middle of everywhere. And so the kids are running around, the TV's on, and I can't fucking concentrate.
Yeah.
So I still dream about my own office. But once you got that, it's over. That's, you don't need more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would feel like I was underutilizing. I remember in my parents' house. Okay, I said last thing 7 minutes ago, but mm-hmm. 2 final super, super, super last things. Okay, drink. One, when we first came to New Jersey, and I bring this up only because it randomly popped in my head yesterday, okay? Mm-hmm. I've told you this before, I couldn't believe that all that green grass was ours. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up in a city and we had a tiny little apartment, and now we in New Jersey we had a house in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck? This is how many families are gonna live here? Like, just us? No, you guys are fucking with me. There's mm-hmm. no way, right? Mm-hmm. But what I don't often talk about is inside the house, right? Normal house in the suburbs. But you have to realize that a normal house in the suburbs in America is a fucking mansion anywhere else.
Yes, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wait, wait, wait. There's a whole downstairs, and then there's a second floor, and then a third floor.
Wow.
What the fuck, right? Uh-huh. And the second floor is, first floor had like a dining room or whatever, living room, whatever,
yeah.
and a
kitchen.
A guest room. No, uh-huh. The second floor was Xiao Xiao. It had the living room and the kitchen.
Oh,
and then okay. The third floor had the mm-hmm. 3 bedrooms, okay? Mm-hmm. And for a guy who grew up in a house with 2 bedrooms, his apartment with 2 bedrooms and tiny little hallways is at that point his whole life, I was like, this is, what do you do with all this, right? Uh-huh. And the living room would go totally unused.
Yeah.
The only time we'd ever, ever use the living room is if company came over. Then we could sit on the good couches.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
My neighbors
never
across.
I understood that. Oh, my God. When you have like 2 living rooms in a house, like the den in the living room, right? Like there's a shitty living room and
yeah,
then there's
yeah.
a nice living room.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have one nice living room.
Yeah. Why do I have to use a shitty living room every day? And then we almost never use a good living room. I think you've got it backwards. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's part of why I love the movie American Beauty, mm-hmm. because like they're about to have sex and then, but he's, oh, we'll get it on the couch. And he's like, who gives a shit about the couch?
Yeah, yeah.
Something to the effect of like, we used to own our furniture, now our furniture owns us.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
so true. And for Turkish families, even more so. My friend who was across the street, they were also Turkish, and their parent and his parents used to cover the couches in plastic.
Oh my God, with the plastic. Oh my God, my parents do the plastic. My parents have a dining room set. The chairs still have plastic on them.
No, but like,
it's from the 1980s, okay?
No, but what's the point? They never took the plastic off.
Oh my God.
So we never ever got to sit on those blue couches. Right? All we did was sit on the plastic, and then it'd be the summer and we're all cheap. You know, they were cheap, we were cheap, didn't want to turn on the air conditioning too much.
Yeah.
So we'd stick on that plastic if we were ever going to, because that was a good living room. So we almost never sat there anyway. Right?
That is insane.
So that extra living room drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I look at that and I go, fuck it, we should go totally off the wall and turn it into a bedroom. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. and do something crazy with it, right? Anyway. We don't have one now, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Look, my dream is a modest house, 12 to 1,500 square feet max in West Hollywood. That's all I want.
12 to 1,500 is pretty small.
It is small.
You can dream a little bigger than that. Because you don't have kids yet. That's why you're saying 12 to 1,500.
In West Hollywood, anything more than 1,500 square feet, it's unaffordable. It'll never happen. It's not.
Never.
It's not. It's not.
Never.
And that's okay. 1,500 square feet, I'm good. I'm golden.
All right, this was random. Okay. Anyways, I think I'm even forgetting something, but it will survive. All right, much love. We'll see you tomorrow.